sir. Thank you. Woo! Hey, you know God's good. I said God is good.
Yes.
And because He is good, He's got nothing but good to give us. Isn't that refreshing? We serve the one who's good and who bestows his goodness upon us. Well, he's got something good for us this morning. There's some things he wants us to see. There's some things that he wants to remind us of. There's some things he wants us to stir up and walk in. Because we're coming into some things. Not just here, but all over the world, right? I mean, this world is getting poised for the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit, right? I kind of feel like we're surfers. And we kind of go out on our board, you know, and we're waiting for that wave, right? We're getting poised, we're getting prepared, we're getting ready. And when we see that swell coming, right, we don't wait for it to come upon us. We start paddling really fast and we catch what's already moving. And so we're already in that swell. We're already in that place that he's starting to do things in a greater measure, right? Because you can have a rain that's just a drizzle. Right?
True.
But we're coming into an outpouring.
Amen.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Okay? You got your Bibles this morning? Look at 1 John chapter 4, chapter 8. Now, we're going to be challenged this morning. You and I are going to be challenged this morning because we're going to hear things we already know. And that is where it gets challenging. Because our brain, which is a know-it-all, When it hears something it's already heard, it just blows it off and goes, yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
But the Lord likes to build revelation on top of revelation.
Yes.
Right? Revelation comes on the revelation we already have. That's how we go from faith to faith. And so you have to use your faith this morning to get revelation from what you've already heard, to add to that revelation. And we're not just trying to get revelation. We're not just seeking a heavy revy, right? We're trying to get things that we can apply. Because the only person who gets blessed are those applying the word.
Amen.
It's not how much I know.
Amen.
It's not how many books I have on my bookshelf. It doesn't matter how many CDs I've got. It doesn't matter that I have that bumper sticker on my car that says, woohoo, hallelujah, Jesus! Right? It's about what I'm applying. Right? Right? And that's why we have to hear things that we've already heard, because we've got to make, you know, we got to stay the course.
Yeah.
We got to stay in that groove where we're making decisions from our spirit man, from the inside. Everything comes from the inside out.
Amen.
If it's coming from the outside in, it's works. When it's coming from the inside out, it's faith. And so that's what we're purposing in our heart, right? So let's trust him this morning. Father, we thank you that you're here.
Yes.
You're here. I said, Lord, you're here. We don't have to feel you. We don't have to see you. We don't have to have our senses involved to know that you're here. And you're here for a divine purpose.
Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
You saw this time and this moment and these people before there was time.
Hallelujah.
And we're just simply walking out your provision, that which you have for us. So, Lord, we say we will hear this morning.
Yes.
We will not just simply hear with our natural ears, but we'll accept what we hear. We'll believe what we hear. We'll look for ways to apply what we hear. Therefore, it shall drop down into our spirit, that place where there's life, that place where there's light. And we'll begin to step out what we see as you reveal it to us. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. So over here in 1 John 5:8, it tells us that God is. It says God is. What is he? He's love. Did you find it? Did I give you the right verse? 1 John 4:8? God is love. He doesn't have love. If you take any part of God and you remove it, it'll be love. Because that's who he is. The entirety of all that he is and all that he has done, it comes from the place of who he is. Love. Now understand that love without corresponding actions is dead. It's worthless, right? So it tells us over in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love.
That's good. Amen.
He said, I'm going to show you what my love is. I'm going to show you what my love does. Because remember, love's not a feeling. Hey, I like feelings. Hello, right? My spirit is encased in this flesh. My flesh has emotions. Like last night, I had a lot of my emotions involved in what was taking place in my spirit, right? And I enjoyed that. But it was not a spiritual experience. It was a physical experience. It was a spiritual encounter. The substance of heaven came into my being, right? And we became saturated. But it wasn't emotional, even though we showed emotion through what he was doing, right? And so it says here that God demonstrated his love, right? And it says that while you and I were unlovable, when you and I were unreachable, when you and I were undesirable, right? It says that he showed his love towards us by dying in our place. See, the cross is a place where we see the demonstration of God's love. That he said, I see what you can't bear and accomplish yourself, so I'm going to take your place.
Amen.
And he became our sin nature. He became our sin. He was an intercessor. He was a mediator. He took the place that we could not take. That's why he came as a man, to represent us, to carry what we couldn't carry. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, he set us free.
Glory.
And so that's his love in action.
Yes.
I said that's his love in action,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, it tells us over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that we have that same love. Go over and look at that. You know, sometimes it's good for us to see it from our own Bibles, right? Say, I have God's love. Look here, it says in Romans 5:5 that he poured out his love, right? He poured out his love. For the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Now think about that. The same love that God is, you is. I'm not sure I graduated high school with an A in English, but you understand what I'm saying? I've been making the mistake by saying that I have love. I think I've been making a mistake by saying I have love. If I'm in him, if he's in me, and he is love, if I'm recreated in his image, then I don't have love. I am love. For me, that's a deal changer, right? Because, you know, if I have love, then I'll just use it every once in a while when I want to.
Come on.
You know? Oh, yeah, I got some money. Here you go. And Bruce always does things like that. Don't be alarmed.
Amen.
You know, the man on the inside is perfect.
Amen. Come on.
But he's living inside that which is not. Took me a while to learn that, but it's true. You see, I don't have love. I said, I don't have love. I am love. Now understand, let's look at this verse of Scripture. Go on over to Colossians 1. And as you're turning, you can multitask, right? As you're turning, say,
I
have been recreated,
in the image of God.
He is love.
Therefore, I am love.
See that who you are is being hidden by this flesh that it's encased by. The key to true Christianity is getting that which is on the inside to be manifested on the outside. Right? And walking out that love that we are is really our witness. That's our witness. I said that's our witness.
Yes,
that's our representation of the one who died in our place.
Yes. Amen.
Right? Because
yes.
It says that this is how the world will know you. They're not going to know you by your fancy house, your fancy car, your fancy clothes, and your Rolex. They're going to know you in the manifestation towards them and towards others of that love. Now, what the world calls a weakness, for us, it's a strength.
Wow, come on. That's good.
You know, people look at us and they say, well, you're letting that person run all over you.
It's really good.
Right? That's a weakness. Yes. You don't stand up for yourself. You're not strong. You're not this. You're not that. But it's not a weakness. It's a strength, because love never fails. I said love. I said love.
Yeah.
I said love. The God kind of love. It never fails. Don't ever think that when you yield to love that you're entering into a place of weakness or surrender. No, you're entering into a place of strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Because you're trusting Him.
Amen.
Amen.
I said you're trusting Him.
Amen.
You're imitating Him. You're walking like He did towards you. And that's how you're treating others, because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. If they can't see goodness coming from us towards them, how will they see His goodness?
Yeah.
Right? Because we're a billboard that everybody's reading.
Yeah.
All right, Colossians 1. And you guys putting it up on the projection or not?
Yes.
Put that bad boy up, Colossians 1:12. We're talking about the love of God, how He took our place. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be what? A partaker. A partaker of what? His inheritance, right? It's a spiritual inheritance. Don't think of inheritance as things, worldly things. It's a spiritual inheritance, and you have it. Verse 13, it says that He delivered us from whom? From what? From the power of darkness, that evil realm that lives in this world, right? The whole world lieth in wickedness. It lies in darkness, right? We've been delivered. I said we've been delivered.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from sickness. We've been delivered from poverty.
Amen.
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 Right? And we walk in those things to enhance, right, our ministry and our pulpit. Because we all have a place. Verse 14 tells us that in Christ we have been redeemed.
Yes. Glory.
Amen. We've been purchased with a price.
Right.
We were in jail and He paid our bond, right? He bailed us out.
Yes,
we're now free.
Amen.
And that's why we act free, because we are free.
Amen.
Right?
Come on.
Even though it may look like we're still in the jail, we're not. We've been delivered. We're free. Hallelujah. And we will act as those who are free,
yes.
Right? We're not waiting to be delivered. We're not waiting for this or for that. We have it now. We walk in the past tense reality of God's word, that which Jesus has already done, has already accomplished, and who has already given all that
Amen.
We need
yes.
that pertains to life and godliness.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now notice that redemption came by the price or the life that He laid down, right? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Don't look just at His blood. Look at His blood being a life force. It's a life force, right? And that's what paid the penalty for what we owed, right? The debt of that sin nature, right? And sin behavior. right? And notice that it also encompasses the forgiveness of sin. Now, we've heard this a zillion times, you know, that we are forgiven. How many have heard that you have been forgiven? Help me, please raise your hand. Hallelujah. You know, we are forgiven.
Yes, that's right.
I said we are forgiven. That's what love accomplished, right? We are forgiven. When I ask for forgiveness for something that I've done wrong, he doesn't go back up to the cross and die for me. No, he just accesses what he's already purchased, and I bring it into the now. I said, I bring it into the now. I said, I bring it into the now. You know? It's wonderful. Everything that we need, everything that we desire, it's already provided. We're just accessing it. That's why Angela was saying, don't ask for healing. You already got it.
Amen.
It kind of changes things. Yeah. Sometimes we're trying to kind of trick God into giving us something.
Come on.
You know? You know what I'm saying? But no, I already have it. And so I have forgiveness. I said, I have forgiveness.
Yes.
And we have to make that become very real to us on the inside. Because the enemy is always reminding us of our imperfections.
That's good.
See, he always wants you to see yourself as a human being.
Yeah.
You're not.
Come on.
I said, you're not.
Amen.
You can look in the mirror and you're not seeing you. Thank goodness when I look in a mirror, I don't see me, right? Glory. That's not me. You know, we're in this hotel, and it's got all these pictures of, you know, the space things. I'm sorry if I don't tell you what I'm looking at, but I'm not from around here. So I don't know if it's these are NASA pictures or if it's from the museum over there on that highway that goes this way. I don't know. But one of the pictures is this guy in space. It's a still picture, but I'm adding animation to it. And that's a picture of you and I. I said, that's a picture of you and I. Your body is that spacesuit. And that body allows you to live in this environment that we call Earth. Amen. Right? And so death, what the world calls death, for us is just us being removed from our Earth suit and going to the place that was prepared for us. So we have the forgiveness of sins, right? God never looks upon our behavior in terms of our relationship with him. Right? I can't change my relationship with God. I've been born, spiritually born into him. I mean, for example, when one of your children, one of my children, does something wrong, they don't cease to be my child.
That's really good.
Right? Amen. Nothing will change that relationship. Yeah. Although sometimes we would, no. right? See, we're so behavior-minded because it's been ingrained in us with our culture. It's been ingrained in us with religious teaching. Good. That behavior is the ultimate goal. It's not. I said it's not. It's not. Now that doesn't mean that you and I can go out and do whatever we want, although we can. Right? Can you do anything you want to do?
Yes.
But not everything is profitable. So we do that which is profitable. Right? We walk in the light as he is in the light. Right? And that positions us. Right? That positions us. So we accept his forgiveness freely. And we enforce that position of forgiveness. You have to enforce things that you receive from heaven. Because, you know, the enemy wants to come and steal it. Your mother-in-law wants to come and steal it. I mean, there's all sorts of people that are trying to take that from you and to pull you out of how you see yourself in him and begin helping you to judge yourself in the flesh. Amen. And there's an excellent book on, you know, what we're talking about, and it's your pastor's book. Is it Unshackled? Did I get the title? Huh? No Longer Shackled. Well, that's embarrassing. I'm telling you, that's the foundation of Christianity, is that book. That's a platform. That book is a platform to propel you into the next level that God has for you. Because we got to get those kind of things straightened out. Amen. Okay, so let's go on. Here we go. How fun is this? I want you to go over to Psalms 103:10. And we're really, this is a two-prong teaching, I guess we could loosely call it that. Psalm 103:10. I like this verse because it talks about God's love in action towards us. Okay? It says that he has not dealt with us after our sins. I like to say it this way, because sin is kind of such a loosey-goosey word. It's kind of like the word love. Right? Because I can go all the way from, boy, I like hot dogs, or I love hot dogs, to, you know, I love the Lord. Really? You know, we use that love word too loosely. And I think sin has a connotation that you're really doing something nasty. You know what I'm saying? But really, all sin is doing that which is void of life or light. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, if I come over here and give this brother a harsh word, you know, I'm not walking in light. I'm not walking in what I know to do. Right? So guess, to me, that's what?
Sin.
Pretty simple that way. But he doesn't treat us, he doesn't come after us according to our behavior. Now, we got to get our mind renewed with that. Right? Because all our life we've been taught, you know, if you do this, this is going to happen, you know. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? It's not true in the kingdom that we've been born into. Okay? Now look at verse 11. It says, for as heaven is high above the earth, so great is what? His mercy. Aren't you glad for his mercy?
Yes.
I heard someone say it this way. Mercy is withholding what you deserve.
Yes. Yes.
Right? I didn't deserve mercy, you know? I should be a crispy critter right now, right? But his mercy withheld what I deserved. And grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Aren't you glad? Look at the 12th verse. This is what he does with our wrongdoings, our sin nature. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he, note this, removed. I said removed. I said removed. That sin nature is gone forever. I said that sin nature is gone forever. You're a new creature. Old things are what? Old things are what? Old things are what? And you're now in this brand new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Right? That's where we live. Okay? And so he is removed and forgotten all of that.
We're saying these things for really two reasons. Number one, we need to receive that. Some of us have trouble forgiving ourselves. We live under that veil of how it was, right? And it's still influencing us. It's still tainting our decision making, and it kind of holds us away from God. You know what I'm saying? But He tore down that wall. I said that wall no longer exists. He tore it and took it out of the way through what He did. And you have free access. That's why we can come boldly.
Amen.
Boldly. What does one aspect of boldness is to be unashamed. Being ashamed is of the devil. Okay? That's one of his tools. Us judging ourselves according to behavior. Right? That wall's torn down. So we're talking about this morning so that we grasp, understand, and receive and walk in the light of our forgiveness. But there's another reason. The Bible says, freely have you received, therefore give.
Amen. Amen.
If I'm going to forgive you, if I'm going to forgive others, the first step is to receive forgiveness for myself, because I can't give something I don't have.
Come on, that's good.
Right? So when we embrace it, when we walk in it, when we celebrate what we have, we want others to have it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I can only give what I have.
Yeah.
All right? So let's keep going. Now, understand that because you and I are love, remember, we don't have it, we are it. Again, great English. See, I am living proof if God can use someone like me, He can use anybody. Right? Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Understand that we're now equipped to forgive like God forgives. It's already inboard. It's already our nature. It's who we are.
What do?
I forgive. It's in my resume. Right? That's why He placed His love in me. That's why He gave me His nature. That's why I'm love. So I can do what He does.
Amen.
Through me.
Yeah.
It's always through Him, right? We don't do it in our own strength. We do it through Him.
Amen.
Right? So Peter in Matthew 8:21. He comes to Jesus, Matthew 8:21, and Peter asked Jesus, I've really been thinking about this, and you're talking about this forgiveness thing, and, Jesus, I just want to know, how many times do I got to do that?
Come on.
Now, what is that? What is that? What is really Peter trying to identify? He was trying to identify things that are done through works. Right? Because he can forgive someone, go, okay, that's one.
Yeah.
Right? Forgive someone else, ooh, that's two, I'm getting close. Right? Huh? That's outward. I said that's outward. That's forgiving in the flesh.
Yeah.
Right? It's works. So Jesus responded to that question, and basically, he was just saying, you forgive every time. How many times do I forgive those that do me wrong, that cause me pain, that offend me, that abuse me, that use me?
Every time.
Every time.
Amen.
Now, what's that? That's faith. Because you're forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. That takes faith.
I said, that's faith. And faith works by? Amen. Now, that's really the key to forgiveness. And let me show you. He gives us this word picture. He gives us this word picture of the unmerciful servant. You know, as you continue on in that 18th chapter of Matthew, we don't really have time to go through all that, and you've heard it multiple times, but the whole theme behind it is this here in verse 35. You can put that up on the projection, please. 18:35 of Matthew. And this is after this word picture that Jesus gave. And he says that from your heart. Did you see that? Is it up there? It says, from what? Notice it doesn't say emotions. Notice it doesn't say from your feelings. Notice it doesn't say from the remembrance of what they did to you.
Come on.
Notice it doesn't say by looking at where that puts you in life because of what they did. Right? It says, from your heart. From that place that you are love. Right? We've received that love so that we can reflect that love. It says, from your heart. Forgive. That's really the key right there. If I can't get there, then it'll be works. Oh, I know I got to do this. Ugh. Bummer. Yeah. And here's another stumbling block, at least for me. There are times when someone hurts me, wounds me by what they do or what they say. And it causes me pain. It causes me anxiety. Right? It's almost what we would consider a violation against me. Something that cuts deep. You know, the enemy will always come at us at our weaknesses and not our strengths. That's why we have to bolster up certain areas of weakness that we have in our emotions and in the way that we think. Right, that's the renewing of the mind. So we got to bolster those things up. And so this thought would come to me that if I forgive somebody, I'm declaring that what they did was okay, and I'm letting them get away with it. That's how I was thinking. And so I didn't want to forgive. Really, my flesh wanted to get even. That's what unforgiveness really is. It's judgment and it's condemnation that we're bestowing upon the one that has hurt us, the one that has violated us, the one that has taken advantage of us, the one that was helpful to get me in this place that I'm at right now. And so I didn't want to release them. Sometimes it's good when it gets quiet. You know? Because, you know, when we start talking like this, we start thinking about that hurt, that violation. And we realize, am I still holding on to that? Am I still embracing that? Am I still walking in that? So I had to get over myself. You know? Because I'm love. And look at all the ways that I hurt Jesus. You know? How many times did I take advantage of him? How many times did I violate him? How many times did I turn my back on him? How many times? How many times? How many times? But he didn't look at that, did he? I said, he didn't look at that, did he?
No.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And so we have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Did they hurt us? Yes. But that's not the defining moment. That's not what we're doing. We're walking in love because we are love, and his love forgave us, so we forgive.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. I had a man in our church. It's good to have men in your church. Hallelujah. We have a bunch of ladies, right? We're going to have some men, too. And he was, how do I want to say this, humanly, you know, his humanity was really rough around the edges. You think I'm rough? He's really rough. He was raised by an alcoholic father that kicked him from pillar to post, post to pillar, whatever that is. Used and abused him, very harsh upon him, very strong-handed on him. And so he became callous. You know, he judged his dad, and if you judge, that which you judge is opening up the door for it to come on you, right? And so he began to, even though he despised his father, he began behaving like his father. Now you understand, he's born again, he's spirit-filled, he's an asset in the church. But he had trouble with his humanity. And I was talking to him one day, and he had been previously married and had kids in that marriage. And I asked him about his kids. I think it was two or three children that he had, and they were kind of in their early 20s. And I asked him about his kids. And he goes, I don't have nothing to do with them. Why? What's going on? Well, they behave this way, and they do this, and they do that. And, da, 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 da. And I think if I hung around them, then I'd be saying that what they're doing is okay. And I began to think about it. I go, whoa. Wow. He's relating to his kids according to their behavior. And as I was considering that, and I was thinking about how he had love and how much he had to offer those children, you know, by having an ongoing relationship with them. And as I was considering that, isn't it interesting when you start thinking about someone else, then you start seeing some things about you.
Yeah.
I hate that. And so I'm here to say that none of my three children are perfect. Hello. Right? My children are perfect. And I have made expectations of my children. I expect.
Come on.
What's that? Pride.
Ooh, come on. That's good.
Why would I want them to have my plan for their life?
Come on.
That's good.
Just pull the trigger, right? No, I want what God.
Amen. Come on. That's it. Amen.
Who am I, right?
Yep.
I don't want them to follow the will of Bruce. I want them to follow the will of God.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
And so when some of these little darlings of ours, by faith, aren't you glad you came this morning? Isn't this awesome? We're just here basking in his love.
Yeah.
Amen. It's good.
Good.
And so I saw some things that I made the determination was harmful for them, and we're taking them away from the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And then I began to judge that.
Yeah, oh my, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm the only one in this room that has ever been challenged with this. I don't even know why I'm sharing it. And it progressed, and then I started talking about what they were doing.
Come on. Come on.
And then it came to my attention that now I was using my faith to help them to do what they were doing. Because I can have what I say. That's an ouch hallelujah right there. You see, when I talk about someone's behavior, I'm coming in agreement. Let's just park there for just a moment. Just let... They're not behavior. I'm talking about what they were doing as if that was them. They're not behavior. I said they're not behavior. They're eternal spirit beings. So I need to talk about who they are on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
And I don't care where they are. I don't care. I said, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to agree with what God says they are.
Amen. That's it.
You know?
Yes.
I'm going to use my faith to open the gift that's inside of them. And I'm going to say about them what God says about them. And so I had to kick my butt. Right? Sometimes we just need to kick our butt. Right? You know? And say, stop. Stop. In the name of love. Right? That ties in. Did that tie in? Right? You carnal thing, you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop saying what you see and start saying what you believe. See, we do these things by faith. I had these feelings that I was yielding to, feelings of disappointment, dismay, and yeah. And by faith, hallelujah, by faith, right? See, we've been trained that if our body starts to feel sick, we go, I'm not, no. We learn not to yield to our feelings in that, right? We call those things that be not as though they were, right? We don't receive that. So when I see my kids or my loved ones or anybody behaving a certain way, right? I don't accept that. I don't accept that. I said, I don't accept that, right? And then I start to say and believe who they are in Christ.
That's it.
And I certainly don't withdraw myself from their presence. Because who am I to validate what they're doing? I'm not condoning what they're doing. I love them and want to be with them. Now, I'm not going to be with them when they're acting a certain way, right? Because that would be awkward. But we find that opportunity to be with them on a level playing field, right? A level playing field. And God will show you where those places are. You know what I'm saying? And then just love on them. Just love on them. They could even be, you know, talking about those things in our presence. And we just smile, love them, you know, well, okay. Don't matter to me, man, because I don't walk by what I see. I don't walk about what I hear. I don't walk about how I feel. I walk by faith, right? I walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen. Amen.
God's so good to us. I said God's so good to us. God's so good to us.
just want to make a couple of statements and then we're going to depart from this wonderful time together. Listen to this statement, and it's absolutely the truth. JC's excited. Right? Again, in the pastor's handbook, it says, make sure you tell them the truth, right? Now, maybe for some, maybe for myself, this may seem a little woo-woo out there, but it's absolutely the truth. We have the ability to love any person, regardless of what they've done to us. Right now, on the inside, because of who we are. Who are we? We're new creatures, right? And we are love, because he's in there. And so I, right now, I have the ability to love anybody. Even the unlovely. Because Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner. And so I can love anybody. Amen. Anybody. Anybody. And so I make that determination. Amen. It's a decision.
It is.
Come on.
That's what hooks my will up. Mm-hmm. That's what bypasses my mind. Mm-hmm. Right? I will to love you.
Amen.
And regardless of our emotions, regardless of the sense or the awareness of pain and disappointment, right? Regardless of how many times these things reoccur, I'm not going to let my emotions govern my life. I live out of the inside, and I tell this clay to do what I tell it to do.
Amen. Come on.
Right? Hey, Ursuit, you're going to obey me. You're on a leash, and I keep you under. And I will love. I will forgive. I will walk in unity. I will not gossip. I will not judge. Amen? Go ahead and stand up. Now, I really like to apply what we hear in as many services as we can, because I realize that it's only the doer. Sometimes we get a buzz out of a service and then we leave, and then in 2 days we forget what the service was on. Right? So I like to apply what the Lord was talking to us about this morning. Right? So we're just going to do two things. Number one, we're just going to accept God's forgiveness. Ready? Just close your eyes. Just focus on him. And just repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
I believe in you.
I believe you sent Jesus
to take my place.
And through you, Jesus,
I have been forgiven. Right now, as an act of faith,
as an act of my will,
I accept your forgiveness.
I am
forgiven.
I am
redeemed.
I am
in right standing
with God.
Hallelujah. Now just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hey, I'm his favorite. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now that we have forgiveness, we can forgive.
Hallelujah.
Right? And so there's a possibility during this time we've had together, some people have come to mind. Maybe, huh? Maybe. Could be a parent.
Could be parents. Could be a sibling. Right? Could be a child, grandchild. Could be somebody in this church. Could be a neighbor, a coworker. And your flesh just doesn't like them. Right? But you love them.
Amen.
I said you. Yes. You. Yes. You. Yes. The man on the inside. Yes. The new creature. Yes. The one who is love.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Loves them. So we just have to yield to our heart. Right? What do you say we release them? The way we've been released. Unconditionally. No strings attached. Right? Let's just release them. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Meanness from your heart. Say, Father. Because I have been forgiven.
Because I am love,
I can forgive.
I
lift up to you
those who have done me wrong,
those who have hurt me,
those who have violated me.
And now,
by faith,
I say,
I forgive you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You believe you receive?
Yes.
You believe you've forgiven them, huh? Yes. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I said thank the Lord. Hey!
And then from that point, you enforce that.
Because those feelings are still there.
That's right.
Bring them under your authority.
Yes.
And say no. It's done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.